The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Oilers Nation Radio, episode 653. I want to give a shout out to everybody that's in the room. Liam, Tyler, Rick, Dan, Bag Milk here. Of course, we got a lot to talk about on the Friday episode of ON Radio. Where you
what
start
is
off-
going on with you right now?
It's on a lot of episodes while I was gone.
Because it's fun to fuck with you. I like to do that kind of stuff and look at your face and you just get confused.
I wasn't paying attention. What did you say?
Episode 653.
Yeah, we just had a big discussion if it was 240 or 241. Yeah. I'm still not quite sure.
And we just added 400 more episodes in that time.
But like the fun part for me is legitimately looking at Tyler when he's confused and then he's got this look on his face like, what are you talking about?
Looking left,
what's
looking
happening right now?
Well, then you almost spill your coffee.
Yeah. That would have made me sad because I just washed this hoodie.
How often do you wash your hoodies?
Weekly.
Do you wear your hoodies once or twice before you wash them, or does it depend?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
It depends.
Depends on the activity you do in them.
100%.
What about jeans?
Jeans?
I'll go years without washing them.
I won't go years. I'll go like 2 weeks without washing my jeans.
I think I've worn these jeans 3 times this week. And it's Friday.
They're fine as long as you're not like actively shitting your pants. Like,
yeah, like,
cares?
Well, yeah, like you got skids in there?
Jesus, bro.
It's taking a long time to answer that question.
Let's just debate.
I think we just found a new one.
Shit.
Okay. You've never pooped your pants as a girl in a boat?
It's a problem when I do it. No, I have never.
Speaking of shitting their pants, the Oilers are 9-8 on the year.
I shit my pants like 3 weeks ago, legit.
Shut up. Don't say shit like that. We have a lot of people listening to this podcast. We're trying to build up credibility.
This is what the sponsors pay for. ON Radio episode 953. We are getting started with a delicious debate as we always do for our friends at Oodle Noodle. Clairview, it is open. You've been asking. It is open. It's reopened. And if you're down in Calgary, that new location in Calgary will be opening very, very soon as well. If you are feeling lazy on a Friday and you don't want to cook, our friends at DoorDash, Liam.
Ding dong.
Are here to help you. They are here to feed you. You've worked enough this week. You don't need to do any cooking. Like, let's get over it. Tyler?
Yeah, what's up?
What is the Oodle Noodle delicious debate for this week?
Well, I don't know if you guys saw, but Matthias Janmark's on the top line for the Oilers right now. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that this will work?
Who wants to start here?
I think I'll just say I'm confident at like a 6 that it's going to be good in the meantime as much as we need him. I don't think they plan on him being a long-term solution there, but I think he was showing some good effort in his games that he's played. I know it's limited experience. Rick, you have a different opinion?
Well, no, I just going to like effort, whatever. Yes. I don't see it being that much of a difference. Unfortunately, I don't think he has the offensive chops.
Yeah.
To really take that step up, and the guys that have had the opportunity, who I do believe have the offensive chops, just haven't been able to do it yet.
The reason why I'm maybe like a little bit optimistic about this, and I think I'm going to come in at a 4.5 out of 10, not quite halfway there, but willing to give it a chance, at least even more than when I first looked at it and saw that it was happening. He plays pretty intense and he moves okay. So if you put those things next to Connor McDavid, there's a chance that you can do well. Like Patrick Maroon scored 27 goals next to this dude. And what did he like? How many of those were from outside of 3 feet in front of the net?
So outside that, very few.
Exactly.
Just get to the front of the net, keep your stick on the ice, bang home the rebounds.
So I think there's a lot of it with McDavid that, like, if you're a competent NHLer and you just have the right mindset, you should be fine. And part of the reason why I think maybe Puljujarvi and Nuge didn't work as a duo next to McDavid, neither of them love going hard to the net. Neither of them are particularly intense on the forecheck. Puljujarvi will get in there every once in a while, but he's not like, oh, wow, always first man in kind of thing. If Janmark and Hyman can be that, first guys in, hard below the goal line, force the centerman down low to support, that could open up space for Connor McDavid to then do some more magic in the offensive zone. So I don't know. I'm 4.5 out of 10. This very well could last 2 periods.
He needs,
or it could last 2 weeks.
People on his line that could put the puck in the net.
That's yeah.
End that's sentence. That's pretty much all he. That's what he needs. But nobody has been able to do it so far. We do not have that secondary scoring yet. Until we get it, you can place whoever you want there in the roster, and it's just someone's got to start putting the puck in the net.
That's all I was going to say. Is just to Tyler's point there further with Nuge and Puljujarvi on that line. McDavid is your shooter, and that's, I mean, not ideal. I know McDavid is a good shooter, but he's also a pretty darn good setup guy, and you need a trigger person. You need somebody that's just willing to take that shot.
I don't even know if it's a trigger person or a shooter. Someone just has to put the damn puck in the net.
Yeah, but put it at the net and put it, yeah. I mean, I would say
knocking pucks down in front of the net or deflecting or doing whatever. They just need to start scoring goals, and it needs to be outside of 29 and 97, and obviously 91's out for a while, but someone needs to start scoring goals, and everybody else is behind pace right now.
I was a little bit surprised, actually, that Nugent Hopkins got pulled off alongside McDavid. He's on pace for 40 goals this year, so it's not like he's not scoring. Clearly, Jay Woodcroft is looking for a spark after what was undoubtedly a rough offensive game for the Oilers against LA. Yeah. And I know that we'll get there, but I don't remember what I said on Oilers Nation every day in terms of my comfortability.
I think you said 4.
So for it, like, I can see it working. Janmark is a guy who has 19 goals in the NHL. In 2017-18, he scored 19 goals with Dallas. So he's done it. He's scored at a reasonable clip in this league before. Is that going to work? I don't know.
That's 5 years ago already. That's crazy. I was just doing the math right there. I was like, how far? Oh my God.
Because that would be 5 years ago. That would have been with what? Dallas. Probably Jamie Benn on the line. And I don't even know. Was that back when they had the Russian?
Shushkin?
No, Radulov.
Oh, Radulov.
Radulov, who was, I was thinking. I mean, I know Nikushkin is he was Russian, but
the fifth highest scoring player on Dallas that year.
It was behind
Ben with 79, Sagan 78, Radulov 72, and Janmark with 34.
Wow.
Quite the drop off.
how comfortable are you with him up there, Liam?
Sorry, Devin Shaw, 32 points a year on Dallas.
Wow. Where'd that guy go?
So what you're saying is that if Janmark doesn't work out, he obviously needs to be replaced by Shore.
Yeah.
Of course, of course. Fair. I'm like a 5. I agree with what Rick said. Like, who else was really doing anything to deserve to be up there?
I liked your boy Kleem. We learned it's Kleem today.
Kleem, Mr. Kleem.
I like your boy Kleem up there.
I sent the meme to everyone.
I did. I saw that.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Very, very good. Thanks, Kennedy.
It was a Kleem meme.
Thanks. yeah, I'm like a 5, 5.5. I just think, who else did you want to give a go? Like, eventually someone's got to kind of be a spark on this team, and you need something from somebody in the bottom six. I think Fogel's earned his spot with Dreisaitl. He's played well the last 4 games. And then Puljujärvi, I think he plays better away from McDavid, right? He kind of focuses on playing his own game than having to play what McDavid's trying to do, if that makes sense. Yeah, I'm like a 5.
Yeah, I agree. I like giving Puljujärvi a chance to just focus on himself.
Yeah. You
know? Like, just go out there and play your game, man. Don't worry about 97. Don't worry about 29. Don't worry about fucking up. Ryan McLeod's not going to give you death eyes if you turn over a puck or if you go offside. Like, just go play your game. Be a good third liner for this team. And you know what? If you're a good third liner who can score 15 goals a year, I'll give you $3 million. Who cares? Mm-hmm.
I think I've said this before on this podcast. I think when Yessa plays with Connor, he feels so much more pressure to do something.
But they exchange the puck so well.
They do. Like,
it in the corner. He knows exactly where Connor's going to be. Connor dumps it in a spot. Yessa knows exactly where he needs to be to pick up that puck from Connor. They just haven't been able to find a way to put the puck in the net, which has been extremely frustrating.
That's the ultimate reason why Puljujärvi got yanked, right? Yeah. Like, he's got 3 points in 17 games. He just played the last handful with McDavid. It's like, it's tough. Yep. You got to score eventually.
I did like that video that came out the other day of Drysdale giving Puljujärvi some pointers with the one dimers. It's nice to see that at least,
they're working together.
At least the core of this team isn't looking at some of the not producing pieces and being like, fuck, geez, like, what are you guys doing?
Well, that's
like,
Twitter, hey, though. That's what Twitter is.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way what's going on in the room is just the insanity we see online.
No, but it was still nice to see Drysdale like taking some time to work with a young player.
Because that's one thing that Jesse needs work on that. Like, really, like, he duffs those one-timers and they either go 5 feet wide or they just kind of float into the goalie. So I'm happy that Leon's doing that because there's no better passer on this outside of Connor than...
Okay, but at least the two shots that were in the video, I didn't want to say it.
Well,
we're muffins. But yeah.
That's we're working on it. Got to work on it. Because, like, man, there was one Connor set... Yes, up. I think it was the first game alongside him where he set him up and he just duffed one from the high circle and it's just kind of like...
Yeah, but that pass was better to a left-handed shot. It was more towards his left skate than his right skate and his sticks obviously by
his right foot. If that's Leon on the reverse side, he's tattooing that puck.
Yeah, he's fine in a way too. That's fair. Yeah, no, I'd definitely be working with Jesse around, that basketball key and just banging pucks into the net. I put the water bottle back on top where it was back in the old days and I want to see popping that stupid thing because that put some force behind the puck.
Would you rather see Puljujärvi stay with McDavid then, or do you think he's good on the third line? Just because
I think he's good in both spots. I think it's very frustrating to see anybody play with Connor and not have offensive, chances or putting the puck in the net. I'm at the point where I don't know. Like, there's nothing about this team right now makes sense. Yep. They're not scoring, and that's somehow I don't get how they're not scoring.
I don't think they're playing well as a team.
No, I would agree.
I think that's the reason.
Their attention to detail is sloppy right now.
Yeah,
sure, but they have the individual skill to still find a way to put some pucks in the net, and some of those guys aren't putting the puck in the net.
But this kind of reminds me of last year in the sense where Connor and Leon started off like a house on fire. Yep. They cooled down, and the depth scoring just wasn't there.
But yes, it was scoring at the beginning of last year, too.
Yeah. Well, up until this point in the season, actually, this is where he really started to cool off.
I look back at the road trip and I look at the Carolina. It was Carolina, then Tampa, right? Back to back. And
Washington, Tampa.
Washington, Tampa. Carolina, Florida. They get the Oilers got their shit pumped by Washington and didn't look good. We felt like they were bad all over. And then the next night they come out and they play lights out against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I shouldn't say lights out, but comparatively to the Washington game. Yep. And that didn't make any sense for this team on the second game of a back-to-back. That, I think, kind of
just highlights. Well, they were very good in the second half of back-to-backs all year last year. But there's, what it is? It's no consistency, period. Yeah. Like, there's just no offense, no defense, no goaltending. There is no consistency. They have one bad. They put one together. You're like, okay, finally, here we go. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you got another flat tire. It makes absolutely no sense right now.
I think you're bang on with that. Like, just the lack of consistency for a team that has the talent that they do. And I know they're missing Evander Kane and Kyler Yamamoto, and that sucks. Two pieces of your top nine. But, like, sometimes it's not even consistency scoring. Like, there's some shifts where it's, like, consistency and the lack of effort. Seems like some of these guys go out there and float around for 30 seconds, lay a half-assed hit, and are like, oh, there's my shift.
Well, I mean, we joked about Kucherov-ing Kane. Well, when Kucherov was out for the entire year, that didn't hurt Tampa one iota.
Yeah.
When we're without Kane for, what, three games, and we're already kind of saying mercy, mercy, mercy.
Well, I mean, like, no matter what the team is, sucks when you lose two top six wingers. And I know Yamamoto's struggling, blah, blah, blah. Don't tweet at Tyler if you disagree. But, like,
that's fair.
It hurts no matter who you are. And Kane is a massive loss. You can't replace that guy internally.
But every team goes. The Boston Bruins started without McAvoy and Marchand and went 10-1.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%. I get it.
The rest of the team needs to find a way to start.
And they haven't yet.
Nope.
So let's look through the line combos. New line combos today. These are from practice, courtesy of Jason Gregor. New first line. Janmark, McDavid, Hyman, Nuge, Draisaitl, Fogel. Kleem, Costin, Ryan McLeod, Jesse Puljujärvi, Holloway, Shore, Ryan, Nurse, CC, Kulak, Bouchard, Murray, Barry. Any thoughts on the rest of the line changes?
Third line's good. It's weird. The top line is probably the only one that's like, oh, what is this?
Like, well, it's just because Janmark's weird on there.
Yeah, the Janmark thing's weird. I think the third line's fine. The second line is earned, I think is a good way to put it, for like Fogel. And what's it? Is Nuge, right? Is the other winger? Yep. Like, I think it's just what the others have got to do right now. You got to experiment because literally nothing else is working.
I think that third line has sneaky potential. A couple big bodies. Klim moves well. Maybe Puljujärvi gets going. Ryan McLeod's Ryan McLeod now. He's an established third liner, in my opinion. So I think that third line could maybe be a bit of a jolt. But again, like, there's a part of me that looks at a line like that that has potential and is like, okay, I think you got to give them three or four games and like see if they can work well together. But I just don't see that happening. I think it's either going to click right away or Woodcroft will pull away from it.
That was going to be my question for you. Whether to switch up the lines. Okay, fine. Would you rather they do that when they're struggling a little bit, or would you rather them go back to kind of what was working on the 5-game win streak? I know you don't have Kane anymore. I get it. But and let the team kind of work through it.
I'm a big fan of trying to get chemistry going. I don't know. I look around the league and there's, you know, team, I'm not saying no other team goes to the blender, but it feels like a lot of times with these high end players, it's like, okay, they kind of have their guy and they roll together. Like Crosby and Gensel, it feels like they've been playing together for 3 years. Right. And it just feels like always
scores.
Yeah, I know. But
he found his guy just like Crosby. Kunitz like Kunitz.
Yeah, exactly.
He found his guy. And it's just kind of frustrating at this point. Like Hyman could be McDavid's guy, but we're always yanking him down to the second line and then putting Drysdale up there when you're losing and all of this. I just wouldn't mind trying to see if there's any combination that could get some chemistry going instead of just going down by a goal. I mean, like, fuck blender time. Here we go. I know it's tough too, because you're trying to give your team a spark and coach in the moment and all that. So it's easier said than done, I suppose.
I think a better way to do it though would be move McDavid to other lines rather than move guys away from McDavid.
Like you're talking about like 11-7 situation?
I don't even care if it's 11-7. If you're doing 6-12-6, just if Devin Shaw's on the fourth line, just throw McDavid out there for a shift anyway. I feel like that's probably way more fun, kind of goes to your point too, yeah. A little bit of like,
I think you do see that from time to time.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know. It's just, I would like to see him gain some.
What do you got against Devin Shore? Why is it Devin Shore?
Yeah, I am team.
He's had a couple of bad games.
Yeah, he has not been great.
That play in the LA game, sorry to cut you off, but when he fumbled it and then went back the other way and crashed into Stuart Skinner, Jesus, man, you can't do that.
Not ideal. It doesn't help me defend him very much. But yeah, Devin Shore, he's not that Dallas Stars 2018.
How many points did you say he had?
32. 11 goals, 19 assists.
Where did that guy go?
Yeah, that makes sense, I think.
I just think that for me, and Tyler, to your point, like you look around the league and you see these stars and it's like for Draisaitl and McDavid, just staple them with somebody, give them some kind of continuity in those lines. You can shuffle the other sides around, especially where you have the versatility of your wingers that you still do on the team. I just think that, yeah, I think you either give Draisaitl some consistency or give McDavid some consistency and then try to figure out the other guys.
Give me 10 straight games of Connor and Hyman.
Yeah.
And let's just go. Let's just see if they get rolling and start to figure out a few things. And maybe he can start to finish next to 97 because someone's got to. And I think we'd actually probably all agree Hyman's the best winger they have.
Yeah.
Right now. I would.
Well, yeah, like Kane's out. But like right now, Hyman's the best winger they have.
Probably better than Kane anyway.
I think there's an argument to be
with
made.
With everything considered.
There's just such a different style.
It's tough to compare those two. It's a debate that would happen, I think, continuously. Mm-hmm. Never ending. But
I want to hear from you. If you're listening to this, let us know. Janmark up on the first my fucking laptop again. Can you hear that?
There you go. Yep.
Dear listeners.
I can hear it.
I'm going to try and ignore this.
I don't think
this.
The listeners can hear it.
Okay. We close it down.
What is it?
I don't know what's happening.
It's an alarm clock.
It's only when I do this podcast too. It's the only time it happens. So,
It's a pizza pop timer.
Oh man, I wish. Throw a couple of pizza pops in the air fryer.
You should have an air fryer here.
We should have an air fryer.
Although no one would clean it and it would just get disgusting.
So you got a dishwasher, don't you?
That's how the good flavor comes in.
Yeah. Like a grill.
Yeah.
Cast iron thing.
Don't wash it.
Yeah,
just throw it in the dishwasher before you leave the night.
Get some Mr. Cleam. Throw it in, make some. There
you go. You love that meme.
Yeah, it's quite funny.
If you're listening to this again, I want to know about Matthias Janmark getting bumped up to the first line alongside McDavid and Hyman. Will it stick? What's your number? Not your real life number. How comfortable are you out of 10 with Janmark up on the first line, I should say. I want to go back a little bit to the game against the Kings because that was one of the ones where the frustration for me was that the Oilers didn't really play poorly necessarily, but LA's trap style game where they fall back in the 1-3-1 was so effective in eliminating the Oilers' attack. That's what was frustrating to me, and that they couldn't change their tactics to kind of get through the clutter.
They need to learn how to play through that.
Yes.
Because they don't really change their game style all that much.
No.
But you need to. Like it's a watch the games from the 90s. Watch whoever's playing the Devils in 96 or something like that. Yep. You need to find a way around this. And yes, the officials need to call some of the water skiing in the back, but you need to find a way to power through this. We've saw it last year in round one. We thought it went away. Thought, you know what? No, right. That was a 7-game series. Thankfully, we got through it. Shouldn't be an issue anymore. I think they figured it out. They haven't figured it out. They need to find a way to get through this because otherwise every team is going to do that to them.
It was like, where's the plan B on that? Because once the Kings got that first goal, you knew what was coming. They just drop back into the trap. They clog up the neutral zone.
It's not even a trap, man. They've dropped four guys behind center. Four guys don't cross center.
Well,
they line up across the blue line too. Like there's two on the blue line and the two defensemen back. Like you got to figure something out.
You need to start coming with speed and you need to come back to both wings and you need to cross dump.
And just also.
And then when you get inside, you need to reestablish how to keep control instantly. Cause they're going to just focus in on the puck.
They need to simplify. Like you can't be chucking passes to center ice to hoping that somebody's going to be there. Generally there is somebody there, but so were the LA Kings.
Yeah. You need to come up and I said that last time is they need to start playing as a 5-man group. And against the team like that, you need to come up as a 5-man group.
What did you guys think of the game against LA on Wednesday? Disappointing loss. Obviously it's a division
frustrating
game. It's a 4-point game. Frustrating. Absolutely.
Kills me that they couldn't get the puck through the friggin' zone half the time too. When they get into the zone, I know Bouchard was absolutely annihilating legs and that's fine, but everybody else,
if they're going to block everything, start shooting higher.
That's exactly it.
If you hit him in the stomach, and I'm not saying put it like in
just a couple.
I'm not saying put it off their nose or something. If you start firing them in their stomach, I promise you they're going to move.
Like when Drysdale just fired one at Arvidsson on purpose.
Yeah, I heard that on the radio. I haven't yet to see the video. I was trying to find it.
I really thought Leon was going to get his first. I thought he was going to drop him.
Me too.
I thought they were going to chuck him because he was big mad.
Well, he called out Edler for not having fought in his career, and Drysdale hasn't fought yet either. So
maybe but Drysdale's not out there throwing knees.
I know, that's agreed. Agreed. But I'm thinking that might be Drysdale saying that he's ready to go if he needs to.
I'm not fighting Leon Draisaitl. That guy is a war machine. Terrifying.
Wasn't there another moment outside of Hyman and McDavid where Edler did something else?
There was some greasy hits from behind. I don't know if he was a part of that or not, but I was shocked at how many hits from behind there were.
NHL doesn't call those, so that's not a big deal.
Let's talk about the Edler thing. Alex Edler stuck his knee out on Connor McDavid, did not get any supplemental discipline from the Department of Player Safety.
Of course.
Connor went down, did get up, thankfully. If I'm Alex Edler, I'm sending the linesman a gift basket because he prevented Darnell Nurse from tuning him up.
And these linesmen need to get the hell out of the way. Fighting is allowed allowed in hockey, right? Yes, you get a penalty.
If you're going to throw a hit like
that, get the hell out of the way and let them deal with it. Otherwise you get more chippy throughout the game.
If Alex Edler is going to throw garbage like that,
these linesmen
should be prepared to pay the price.
They're dumb.
But this is what the instigator rule also stops from happening.
The instigator was the knee.
But they would have taught in that. But that's the thing is that if Nurse came in and tried to fight him, Nurse would have been tossed from the game.
No, 2-5-10.
Well, 2-5 and a 10, but essentially would 17. Have been removed from the third period. He would have had four minutes left to go in the game. So I just like, to me, the instigator is the issue here. We saw it again last night. Pierre-Luc Dubois slashes Sam Carrick and then Brendan Dillon comes from behind. Sam Carrick greased Dubois turned around and slashed him. And then Dillon comes in and fights him and gets the instigator penalty because Dubois and Carrick weren't allowed to fight. Like it's such an asinine rule. If the Department of Player Safety is not going to step in and then say you can't do
it. And this is going to be very unpopular, but I go back somehow the stage fighting dealt with some of this stuff. Yeah. So you don't have to go and get the instigator. Fine. You know what? Whatever, we'll line up and we'll drop him right here then.
Yeah.
And it's dealt with then.
And it's not an Alex Edler even. It's another guy on his team that Edler then has to respond to because he got into a fight.
Well, that's one thing too. I'm tired of this. The Oilers need to start going after their players.
Yeah. Yep. I was just
forget going after Edler.
That's exactly it.
Dude, Doughty should be picking splinters out of his leg all night.
No, the kids should, honestly.
Well, no, you go after their best players.
I think you go after their
top. And then you are stopping in the crease every time what's-his-face stops the puck. You are in the crease. And I want you pissing off their defensemen. Mm-hmm. Nobody will do that, and especially with 91 out. At 25, obviously far too valuable to be doing that. And defenseman, you can't.
Well, I said yesterday on Real Life, like if Evander Kane was in that game and he saw that happen to Connor, I don't think the linesman would have stopped him.
No, he wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah.
I said he would have beaten the shit out of the linesman and then just gone right back to Edler.
Dude, so I know, like, nobody fights Kane. He gets in more scrums than anybody. But as soon as a scrum gets too serious, these guys are looking for officials. Edler didn't even drop his gloves.
It's just like, remember when he popped Brendan Lemieux around the linesman last year?
Yeah.
Well, Edler has only had one career fight, and it was the same.
Yeah, because he hides behind the game. Because he hides behind the officials all the damn time.
But it was the game where he greased Hyman, and then Wayne Simmons fought him after that.
Well, those are good linesmen then.
Yeah, oh yeah, for
sure. The linesmen need to learn that you need to allow that to happen. Like, stop getting in there. This is not a G-rated show on Teletoon or something like that. Let them fucking fight.
It was a dirty hit, too. It was a dirty, greasy hit by Edler. I'm like, what do you guys think about the NHL not giving him even a fine for it?
Stupid. Gutless.
Okay, I don't understand the NHL rules now for suspending players. So previous suspensions don't matter?
No.
That is ridiculous.
They only come into play. It's something to do with like how much salary you have to forfeit or some shit.
Not even like the three seasons and it goes away, kind of like your demerits.
It's all about money. It has nothing to do with games.
It used to be that though, right? No? I could have sworn it used to be.
Yeah, you're like, if you were a repeat offender, your punishment would be longer.
Oh, maybe it used to be, but Frank has told me that the repeat offender thing only applies. Yeah, you're right. Cause in the Shanahan days, they used to say that in the videos, like, this player is a repeat offender.
Yeah. Like Letang got off on his big one because he had done nothing previous, kind of thing.
See, I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
If you steal from the store and you get caught, it's going on your record.
Bag of chips.
Yeah. Maybe a bag of chips, bananas, peps.
Oh, of course. Need your potassium.
But what if you're chicken on a, wings? You're just
I don't
on
know
a
how you're
team.
Stealing those bananas.
What if you're just on a shitty team that's always mucking it up and causing shit? You know what I mean? Like,
no, but it takes a lot to get a suspension. Therefore, it takes a lot to get a second and therefore a third.
Did you guys see what John Scott said?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'll tell you, Rick, please. So John said on his podcast, so him and Tim were talking about it and Tim was basically saying like, I don't think it's like much in it. And John said, like, no, if you're an NHL player, you skate every single day, you know exactly what you're about to do. He's like, I'm not going out there saying that, like, Edler meant to hurt him or anything. But,
no, but
like,
he threw his leg out there to try to stop him.
He knew what he was doing.
1,000%.
And yeah,
he knew he was beat.
Yeah, you throw your leg chicken wing out there and you hope for the best.
He said it was a 5-game suspension in his eyes.
What do you guys say to the people that say that McDavid and Hyman were trying to avoid the check and that's why it got worse?
No, he's still it doesn't. Regardless, he moves his leg into the direction of the oncoming player,
a guy that was going to beat him.
Yeah,
yeah. Like I think the onus isn't on the player with the puck to be like, well, I gotta like take this hit. I think they're trying to get around you. The onus is on that, the player.
Isn't that victim blaming? I thought we were going over victim blaming.
What happened to eyes on the chest or whatever? Not watching the puck, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You get beat.
Yeah, and he would have.
Don't need to try to hurt a guy, but.
Don't get beat next time.
And again, like the NHL not giving any kind of discipline at all, it doesn't make sense to me because
they don't want to make themselves look bad. That's why.
But like everybody in that building on Wednesday night is there to see Connor. Nobody gives a fuck about Alex Edler. And why doesn't the NHL, like if that happened in the NBA to LeBron?
Yep.
It's a NFL. Much different situation.
Yeah. Well, NFL basketball is too much flopping. You never know.
If someone need Patrick Mahomes, it'd be hell.
Dude, yeah, I'm still
you literally
go back.
Can't touch quarterbacks in the NFL.
I go back to the game against Dallas when Fogel got hit from behind. And it was Pavelski hit him. He hit him square in the numbers.
And Hyman came in.
Yeah, when he met him, yeah. He hit him square in the numbers. And not a fucking call on the ice, not a call out of the disciplinary committee, nothing. Like, are you going to wait for a death?
Yeah. I think there's so many things happening in the what league do we play in? NHL.
NHL. Mm-hmm.
That fighting needs to be part of it.
It does.
Like, even to bring it to like an Oilers thing, Nima Leinen the other week when we played Nashville, I know we kind of debated that, but he tried to crush Ekholm. And then he turtled and didn't fight.
And that's the instigator saved him there too.
You got to fight.
What was the score in that game though?
The Oilers were winning.
We were up by a bunch.
And that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so that one, I'm a little bit, but at least sure. It was a clean hit. That was a dirty hit.
Yeah.
But then there's like other stuff. And then like, what's that? McCarron? Was like cross-checking Holloway at the end of the game because Nima Leinen wouldn't Michael fight McCarron. Earlier on in the game. And then Puljujärvi wouldn't fight. It's like it's a tough game. People have got to fight eventually. And like, and then you get Edler kneeing the best player in the league.
So it's just like a ricochet every single time.
Yeah. The NHL sold us a bag of goods with this instigator, right? They made us believe that two referees was going to fix a lot of things because two referees can see more than one. And they believed,
no, they can't
believe that the Department of Player Safety with Colin Campbell was going to fix things. No, it didn't. You know, and it just, they continue to sell us on this stuff. And yes, I totally understand that there is a ton of literature and there's a ton of real life experience now that we've learned from that says that fighting is, you know, a part of the brain injuries that are coming out of hockey. I get that. I totally understand that. But what's not happening is we're not protecting these players from these head hits and these injuries that are being caused because of the dirty stuff that fighting was instituted to fix. And I'm not saying that it's the bright answer for the future. I don't know that whether or not it is, but what I am saying is the trusting the Department of Player Safety and trusting the referees to catch everything is not the answer. Nope. And that's where I have the issue with it. And so
if they don't even try to make that the answer anymore.
That's it. And if you remove the instigator from it and then you continue to have an issue, sure. But to me, we've now listed three different examples with the Edmonton Oilers alone, where the instigator has either stopped something from being policed or started something from being policed. So I don't know. You can debate about it all the time, but.
Well, the interesting thing is like when a guy like John Scott says it, yeah, it's a little bit different because he played in the league, right? Like we can argue about it on Twitter.
Anyway, he's a certain kind of player in the league too.
Those guys, I bet if you ask them to a man, would prefer that they police it themselves.
1,000%.
Like the refs, call the rules, all that shit. But like there's times like the Edler thing where if Darnell Nurse had tuned him up like he wanted to, then probably the rest of the game is a little bit different.
It is definitely, whether it be, I don't know if the score changes or the gameplay changes, but some of the chippiness goes away.
But then like to the team toughness point, removing all this, you know, talking about needing the instigator removed and all that. If you accept that this is the way it is, then yes, the team has to go after the LA Kings players that they best value players. the same level 1,000% that we do for our guys.
1,000%.
And it's really like, And again, that turns into eye for an eye and all that bullshit, but that's just the system that we're playing in. So you got to do it or we're going to be sitting here frustrated after every one of these situations.
I want to hear from you. If you're listening to this Owen Radio podcast, hit us up Twitter and Instagram. Give us your take on the Alex Edler knee on Connor McDavid. As you can hear, we did not like it. Fair?
Yep.
Very.
One quick note.
Please.
Did you guys notice who the referee was in the
game? Yeah, it was the guy from Chicago who called 1,000 penalties.
Same referee.
I said Chicago. That guy should not be in the league after that game, and he should definitely not be in the league now. Go back down to the AHL and work on
your skills. He learned his lesson. He doesn't want to call anything anymore.
Right? Yeah, he's probably sitting there. I made this joke on Oilers Nation every day. He's like, hey, last two Oilers games I've called, they've had 8 power plays. What are you bitching about?
See, that's another thing. I think these guys need to leave their emotions and their egos checked at the door, and they don't. They bring it on the ice with them.
You're asking NHL officials to leave their egos at the door.
Yes. I'm asking officials, people who are in charge of running something like that, to leave their egos and their emotions at the door.
Refs.
But they get, you can be a
fucking adult.
They get screamed at by a Rick at every arena. Like they have to have a little bit of.
Not every arena has a me. Anyway, you look at, and you know what? You look at soccer. Those guys get people right in the fucking face.
I was just about to say.
And those guys don't flinch. All they do is throw up their little red card. NHL refs sit there and bark back.
Maybe we need to.
They call them out sometimes.
Sing harsher songs and ref, you suck.
Yes.
There's a couple of things the fans can do. I do know a couple up here that can.
Oh, I know some English guys, and I went to a soccer game with them once, and we chanted all sorts of weird things that should not be chanted outside the bus on the way and back. It was quite funny.
Radio show.
But you got some good chance.
Is it a box? Like that was fucking that was bad.
There were some bad ones there chanting on the bus. It was you laughed.
I remember a couple of them. All right. We've covered Alex Edler. Another thing that's popping up around, I talked to Tyler about this on Oilers Nation every day. Do the Edmonton Oilers need more team toughness? My thought was,
not really.
We're only talking about this because the Oilers are not winning right now. When they were winning 5 games in a row, nobody said shit about team toughness.
I agree with you. I think that the only team toughness we're going to find is in that locker room already. And it's up to each guy to just start doing a little bit more physically to continue the message.
What are we looking at with team toughness per se?
What do we mean? Do we
finishing checks?
Well, Tyler, what's the consensus that you've heard?
Well, so I think some people go, we need to be tougher and think of like, you need to add a pure fighter or whatever. And
yeah, it's
like,
get their George LaRocco there to beat the crap out of someone when that happens. I get it.
That's not where I think we should be having this conversation. Cause I think that area of it is just a byproduct of the team losing and people reaching for a reason.
And getting frustrated. Want to see instant fucking gratification.
Yeah. They want to see if you're going to lose, at least beat the shit out of someone. And in the moment it leads like, we need more team toughness. The kind of team toughness the Oilers need is harder forecheckers in the bottom six, guys who aren't afraid to play a physical game, who make life miserable on the other team. When defensemen are going back to get pucks against the Edmonton Oilers,
hit them all the time.
Doesn't matter which line is out there, those D-men should be like, fuck, here we go again, and they should be getting crunched. And that doesn't happen with this team. And I get it. Connor McDavid's not going to do that, and Leon Draisaitl, even though they did it last year.
They shouldn't have
to do that with regularity. It should be the complementary pieces, and we just don't see that with enough consistency. Ryan McLeod, I love the guy, just said he's established himself as a legit good top nine winger. He's the king of flybys. That guy does not want anything to do with physical contact, and it's like, dude, you're young, it's fine, like, I'll cut you some slack, but you got to start fucking hitting people.
He needs to put some size on.
Yeah, he probably does. He put some size on. Like, I love him as a player.
Thickness. Well, like, as an example, Kaylor Yamamoto gets in the mix and he's tiny.
It's been ingrained in him for so long because he's always been the smallest guy. So he's had to do it. Then you look at some of these guys who are big and they're like, they didn't have to do it. So they don't know how to do it.
Devin Shore. Have you ever seen that guy lay a hit in an Oilers jersey? I don't remember the last time. Derek Ryan.
Devin Shore taking a lot of shrapnel today.
I know. Derek Ryan will like get in there but he's not the most physical guy. He's smallish
guy.
But like, and I think Devin Shore's a guy, he can be your 13th forward and come in and out of the lineup, but that's the piece I'd be looking to replace. It's like, get a guy in this bottom six who can fucking hit.
But Nugent Hopkins last game threw a couple of hits at that Anderson Dolan guy. Yeah. And he dwarfs Nugent Hopkins, but you can just get in there and make a point. It doesn't have to be a bone crunching hit, but we talked about it on the last episode. Just show some friggin' effort show that you're doing the right things away from the net.
The funny thing about Nuge too is like, there's always a line with him where he'll drop him if he has to. And I think the Oilers probably need a little bit more of that attitude. Like a guy like Ryan McLeod, I'm not expecting him to fight.
No,
but there's got to be a line in which case he just sees red.
So, and I don't know if he can see red for the record. I just think he's too much.
He's very happy.
But this was said about him in junior and in minors. It took him a little bit to get comfortable with his game in junior, start to find the offense. Then the rest came, and same with that in the minors. I want to see some more physicality out of him by the end of the year.
Yeah, and that, I think that's a fair expectation. But this whole conversation is part of the reason why I think I'm falling in love with Clean Costin. He might be my new Clean boy.
Okay, well, this is one thing we do, though.
I know.
One game, we got real jacked up.
Did you watch our show yesterday?
No.
I called him the answer.
Oh, wow.
You want to see him next to 97.
I want to.
You probably will by the end of the month.
By the end of the next game.
By the end of next game. Yeah.
Is that in his bio? Like on the back of his hockey card, does it say, hey, this dude's going to go fuck shit up in the corners?
No, but it's in his bio steel.
I think he's more likely to do it than some of the options we have in the bottom six.
I want a guy who's going to go out there.
As default, he's more likely. Like,
Costin's
I remember he
times.
Blew up Durzy right near the side of the net on Wednesday. And I go, whoa. Because he did that reverse hit. Durzy was coming in. He just blew him up.
Because I've seen 55 start throwing some hits.
Yep. You sure have.
I've seen 37 start doing it. 13, I still want him to do some more. But that guy needs to put some fat on himself because he's way too...
He's also joyful. Yeah.
He does on the forecheck though.
But it hurts him so much. Yep. It hurts because he has no fat. He has nothing to protect. He's so lean. He needs to go hit a couple of Donair shops and then start using that so it doesn't hurt so bad.
I wish we could just get more like of a Zach Hyman kind of trait in Yessa, where Zach Hyman, when he parks himself in front of the net, he is a menace and you cannot move him. And Yessa has some of that, but the doggedness isn't quite there. I wish we could have more of that.
He exits on his own. Yeah.
Forget team toughness. Do the Oilers have a team thickness problem?
Yes. How many C's we got?
They ain't thick enough, boys.
So what happens when you lose, Kane?
That's where I think that the narrative starts to get lost. And I do think that there is people that just believe bring in a bigger body will fix everything.
I asked
when we brought in Ben Eager.
Yes.
Exactly.
Hey, dude, I had a lot of big hopes about that year. Darcy Hordichuk.
I did
too. We brought in five guys that summer, and I was like, dude, this is like...
Fraser?
Yeah, Colin Fraser.
No.
Mark as well.
Fraser.
Oh, Mark, yeah, that's fine. But it was the issue with Eager was we had that damn Russian defenseman who killed him in the preseason, or always in scrimmage or something.
Yeah, that was in the Joey
Mark. And that was the end of fucking Ben Eager.
There was
some other dude who played like three games in the league, maybe.
Anton Beloff?
No. It was a prospect that didn't even make the show.
Yeah.
I asked you on Twitter about the Oilers line combos. I just said, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you look at them? Some of the answers, gentlemen, give me your thoughts. Hat backwards. Thomas says that they didn't realize their issue is the D pairings bothers me. Thoughts on the D pairings? Because they're the same.
This is the whole entire roster having an issue right now. So I can't say that.
They're desperate and I like it. Man, can't JP just average half a point per game? Is that too much to ask at this point in his career? It bums me out. Rick, what are you gonna say?
I just want him to, that's all I want. There's not a person on that Twitter thing there who's a bigger JP fan than I am. All I want is for him to start putting up some points. I want that puck to start going the net for the guy.
I fear Woody has gone full Tippett. Let's pump the brakes here, people.
Whoa.
The brakes. Anyway, let us know what you think about the new line combos. ON Radio Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. A couple of quick notes before we move on to some Ask the Idiots questions. Tyler Benson sent down to Bakersfield on a conditioning stint. What does that normally look like? Is that a week?
Yeah.
What are we looking at here?
Couple games. I could see him meeting them in Jersey. They play the Condors play tonight and Saturday. So he could play Friday, Saturday, hop on a plane Monday and meet the Oilers in Jersey.
Do you think that is the plan where Benson comes? Because here's what I think. Having Tyler Benson on that fourth line left wing is way smarter, in my opinion, makes more sense than having Dylan Holloway in that spot.
Oh, yeah. Like, what's even the argument against that? Dylan Holloway, 8 minutes a game, isn't doing anything for his development, and it's not doing a whole heck of a lot to help this team win hockey games.
The argument would be that he allows him to still be in the roster, get some more minutes. He's not getting them, but I would put him in there over Shore. I just think he goes out there and they wanted him to be more of a pest and play a more physical game. And you saw that out of Benson last year.
I'd go Malone. I'd call it Malone. I'd go Malone, Benson.
Yeah, that's fine.
And Ryan is my fourth.
I'm all good with that too.
I will go with Brad Malone.
On the other night, Tyson Barrie played his 700th NHL game. So just a quick shout out to him for that. If Benson does go to meet the Oilers in Jersey, are you doing that flip?
What day is the Jersey game?
Monday.
They also play the Islanders on Wednesday.
Bakersfield play Tuesday.
They do. Correct.
So yeah, I guess that would probably be the easiest. I feel like it's just the most logical one.
I think it just depends on what he does.
I get the Devin Shore debate, but also more beneficial for the team down the road that Holloway starts playing some real hockey minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Even if it's so just to get him back into a game shape exactly and you want to bring him back up, whatever.
Boost the confidence a little bit. Like I could see them doing the Yamamoto with him, you know what I mean? Where they pull him up in like late January or something. And then all of a sudden he looks like a player who's got a little confidence. He scored some goals with the Condors. He's feeling good about his game.
And then they sell him to us as a trade deadline pickup.
Exactly.
That works.
No, that's Evander Kane. You know it is.
That too. Yep.
I hate when teams do that.
I hate it too.
He's basically like a deadline pickup. What?
It's like, no.
It's like if I went to go pick up my car from the shop and was like, it's basically like I got a new car. Yep. No.
Wait, you don't say that every time?
The new car smell. It just smells like fucking motor oil.
For our friends at Twig and Berries, twigandberries.ca, it's time for Ask the Idiots. If you go to twigandberries.ca, use the promo code NATION15, you'll get a little discount on your order. If you are in St. Albert, go try some stuff out. The ODR collection, I should say, is wonderful, and ODR season is coming. You should be there. You should be out on the ice, and you should be looking good while you're there. Twigandberries.ca. I got some questions for you here, fellas. Dan's right in front of me, so I'm going to start with Dan. This one's from Jed. Frank Saravalli and Mike McKenna were talking about whether the Capitals should shop Tom Wilson. Would he be a good fit for the Oilers? Kane and Wilson as the top, as in your top six, would be deadly in the playoffs. I'll just start. Yeah, of course you want to get Tom Wilson, but like, how do you fit it? What do you have to give up to get him?
That's like, the real question. Yeah.
Sorry, Dan, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, yeah, like, I think, what is his 4.5?
5.1 million 5. For 1. Two more years. So it's this year and next. I like the idea of it, but what do you have to do to make that work?
Yeah, I'd love it.
You got to find a taker for Tyson Barrie. Yeah. Then you have to replace Tyson Barrie. Yeah. And then you probably have to find a taker for Warren Fogle or Jesse Puljujärvi and move Wilson into the lineup. On top of, what would the cost be for Tom Wilson? Probably one of your really damn good prospects and a first round pick. So are you giving up for going a first and doing what it takes to get rid of one of Fogle and Puljujärvi and also doing what it takes to get rid of Barrie? It's not realistic.
No, so Borgo's not touchable unless the return is like a 24 year old.
Isn't Tom Wilson hurt?
He's also hurt.
Yeah, he's been hurt. I was just going to say, you also have to ask your question. Or you have to ask yourself, why is Washington getting rid of Tom Wilson, who is a guy that can play with Ovechkin and can play on their top line? So,
like, I love the idea.
Yeah.
Tom Wilson on the Oilers top six, love it. It's just not realistic in me.
If he could play defense, it's a different conversation, but
he can't play hockey.
Therefore,
I'm in.
But he's
me too.
He's out a while too, though, man.
Like, he's out with an ACL. He'll come back in like January.
So we Kucherov, Tom Wilson, and Kane.
Kucherov, Kane.
Now all of a sudden we got a whole lot of cap space to spend.
Oh yeah, then we can get Chikrin
and Kucherov him too.
Yeah, he is hurt as well.
No, boys,
we're going to look so good in April.
Straight to the cup.
It worked for Vegas.
And we never get there.
From the good Captain Felton, Rick, you're up next. In a bizarre world, there are no Canadian hockey teams whatsoever. Which team do you cheer for and why?
If there's no... where did the Oilers go?
They gone.
Houston.
They went into the... if they went to just dissipated, I don't know. I guess I'd have to follow some players. At this point, I don't know if I could cheer for another team. I'd have to just cheer for players at this exact point.
They never existed?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, now they never existed. So now I'm living in a city that doesn't have a team.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like living in Kansas.
I think, again, you're...
It's like living in Calgary. I hear
the weather's really nice there, though.
You're living in Saskatoon.
Lots of tornadoes.
Oh, that's terrible. Who's going to be my team if I can't pick one of the... you know what? Right now, I don't know if I have one, man. Like, I got... the Oilers are here, so I can't even look at another team with a favorable view.
If I had to pick one, shout out to my Columbus Blue Jackets. Oh, lovable obviously. Losers. Come on. I think that's where I'd go. I'd find some lovable losers.
Losers for sure.
I'm a Bills fan, so like I'd maybe gravitate towards the Sabres too. I'll put the
snow in Buffalo right now. Just for
how about last week?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the football
team. How about the Lions?
Is anybody...
two wins in a row?
Can we post the standings in the AFC East right now, please? Can we post the standings in the AFC East after this Sunday, regardless of what happens? Because we're still in first.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Liam.
Oh, no. 8-2 will get you. Never mind.
It's bizarre world. There are no Canadian hockey teams. Which team are you cheering for and why?
I would go with the Seattle Kraken for one reason. They are the closest team to Edmonton.
And you love Macklemore.
Macklemore. I saw Macklemore once.
Really? Where?
On the Shore street?
Conference Center.
Really? Yeah. Was he good?
It was good. What was the guy? Ray Lewis? Not Ray Lewis.
Yep, definitely Ray Lewis. Ryan Lewis.
Ryan Lewis and Macklemore. It was a lot of fun.
Ray Lewis and Macklemore is a way different show.
Yeah, that'd be something. That'd be something.
Dan, there is no Canadian hockey teams. Which team are you cheering for and why?
I'm definitely going with the Vegas Golden Knights. And it would have just been because I would have jumped onto the bandwagon early on and seen it from the start.
I think if I have to pick...
Tampa Bay because of Patty Threepeat.
There you go.
That's a decent one.
But
you know what?
It's because Patty played here. So
yeah.
I've always kind of had a soft spot in my heart for the New York Rangers from Mark Messier's time there.
I don't hate them. Nor the Bruins, because without them, we'd have two less cups.
So
shout out Bruins.
I might pick the Rangers. I really like Shesterkin as well. I think he's cool to watch. I like the way that team plays. Maybe probably the Rangers, I guess.
Rio. I'm
trying to think of scenarios in my head. Like, when I became a hockey fan, which team would I pick?
And it's funny you say the Rangers, but it's because
of
the Oilers.
Yeah.
I might have picked Chicago too, because the first draft I watched was 2007 when Patrick Kane was picked. Mm. So maybe that would have been my little connection there.
Tyler, you are up next.
I have my answer.
Oh, no. You're up next question. For the question. Okay,
cool. No problem, Gene. I think I got this. No problem. Go ahead.
Has any of your preseason expectations changed based on how the team is playing currently?
Yeah, I said Dylan Holloway would put up 50 points. Got a funky feeling he might not get there. Just a hunch at this point. I still think Gillies have an outside shot at winning the Pacific, but I kind of thought it would be theirs to lose at the start of the year, and I maybe overlooked how good Vegas would be. So that's kind of changed for me. But my concerns about this team as a whole are still largely the same as they were at the start. I think that third pairing on the blue line is very worrisome, and I think they could use one more bottom six player. So I don't know. They've changed a little bit, but the one big one is I don't really expect them to win the division right now. I still think they could, but I'm not expecting it.
I'll just go next because I'm selfish. My expectations haven't really changed. I've got high expectations. Preseason, they were high. Right now, they're high. The Oilers need to turn it around or I'm going to be disappointed. Liam?
I'm with you. Yep.
Insightful.
Well, yeah. There's not a lot to say, is it? Like, the issue at the start of the season was defense. It's still the issue, but the Oilers are still good enough to probably win it all if they really put it all together.
I do think I said the Oilers win the Western Conference. I still stand behind that. I thought Vegas was going to be good and I didn't think they were going to be this good. And I also thought Florida was going to fall off and that hasn't happened at all. So
Rick, your expectations change?
Nope. There's no chance Vegas is a 14-4 team. They will come back down to earth. What are we, right? 9-8 right now?
9-8.
Yep. So we're not even a quarter of the way into the season.
You're on check
math. So yeah, I'm not going to. Yes. The answer is
17 games.
I'm not changing my mind right now.
Liam, I'm starting with you. The Oilers, Hank Hill. I don't know if it's actually Hank Hill though.
Who's Hank Hill?
Tell you what.
Adam?
You didn't watch King of the Hill?
King of the Hill. No, I don't think
it's kind of like, right. It's kind of like,
I know who that is. Yep. I don't know a lot about him.
Well, it's Oilers, Hank Hill.
You got the whole weekend to figure it out.
Yep. You got a lot of seasons to watch. Who was the last Oilers goaltender that you felt consistently confident in?
Wow.
Well, to be fair, I've been an Oilers fan since 2010.
So none of them.
So Stuart Skinner.
Stuart Skinner's my answer too.
Yeah. Like, what's the run from that?
What about before Skinner?
Are we saying quietly confident?
You're just confident every night your goaltender is going to show up.
It's Campbell.
It was Dwayne Roloson in the playoffs.
Cam Talbot, 2017 for me.
Oh, that was a good
one. See, Talbot, you know what? You can go back to Dubnyk too, where, you know what? It was the guys in front of him that were giving up grade A chances on that dude. If you leveled all that off to, you know, B's and C's, I think you had a goaltender there and you saw it once he went out and he went over to Minnesota and was a Vezina.
Yeah. Yeah. Talbot would have been my second pick,
but I felt pretty good with a backup too. And LB.
Dadbot
was good, but I liked LB as a backup too. I thought he would have been, if the team played well in front of him, and he's put up a whole career since, then everybody chased him out of town.
I was a big Cam Talbot fan at the time. So I still remain. Lovely person.
Can we do, I wanted to ask you guys this, and now it ties in nicely to this question. We were talking about Ben Eager. His last year with the Oilers was 13-14. And the team had six goalies make a start for them that season. Ooh. Can you name them all?
What year again?
All of them?
13-14.
Yandini.
Drew and Delorier.
Martin Gerber.
Yeah.
Mathieu Garon.
13-14. So, okay. So I'm thinking, because I'm the idiot that came up with the 99 problems, but a goalie ain't one. So Ben Skirvin's Victor Fast.
Bingo. You nailed two of the six.
And there was four more?
There was four more. Where are they from?
Jan Denis?
No, I said Denny.
Oh, did we get the, was Briz here for that?
Briz.
Oh, yeah. Boy. I forgot about that.
Brizzy, how you doing, huh?
There's that photo that every now and then it pops up on Twitter and I love it, where he's sitting in a completely different room watching the game on a little TV. I don't know what rank they were in.
Olivier Waugh?
No.
No, I was
Doobie.
But he was traded.
Doobie. Doobie's four. So we got four. Fast, Scrivens, Doobie, and Briz. We're missing two.
Two more.
Bunzi?
No.
Fuck.
Did they establish NHL careers?
No.
Yeah, kind of.
Oof.
Really?
Yeah. You want him?
Yeah.
No. I was going to say Shkalenkov, but that's a couple years ago.
There's one that's, anyways, go ahead.
Old Bachman Turner overdrive, Richard Bachman.
Oh man, I forgot about that.
Three games at a 302 goals against average, somehow a 916 save percentage.
Do you remember we were all like, this guy's got to be the goalie?
Because he had one game that was like unreal. Yeah. I think he had like a 45 save shutout against the Canucks or some shit. And the other one was Jason LaBarbera.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I forgot about Jason LaBarbera.
I wouldn't have gotten these if I didn't look it up. I forgot he was a Oiler.
To start the season, that would have been, I think it was LaBarbera. Was to start of the year
with Habibulin.
No, it would have been Doobie and LaBarbera.
Oh, we Dubnyk got traded for Matt Hendricks.
Habibulin wasn't there fast.
Wasn't there. Oh, sorry.
And then they would have gone on throughout the year, and eventually they traded for Victor Fast.
They traded Scrivens to
in
get
March.
Was that the year they traded him to get Cassian? Cass?
No, that would have been.
They finished with those.
That would have been the year they acquired him in January for a third round pick. So they acquired Fast and Scrivens throughout the year. Fast was a trade deadline ad. Briz, you guys know they signed. They started the year with LaBarbera and Dubnyk, and Bachman was signed as a free agent but played in.
He was more of the OKC guy. He just kind of came up. He's the veteran.
What did we trade Fast for? Was that a fourth rounder?
To acquire him?
Yeah.
Yeah, we traded from the Ducks to the Oilers for a fifth round pick and a third round pick, which did not become Yan Denis, became someone Denis Yan.
Stop it.
Dude, look at his hockey DB.
Denis Yan. He's wow. In bizarre world.
That Yan is Denis. Incredible. I thought you just missed the comma there.
Was he a goalie too?
No, he's a left winger.
Oh, I love it.
Yan Wai.
And he's still playing. So shout out to Denis Yan. It might be Dennis, actually.
If you have Ask the Idiots questions, just slide on into my DMs. I will ask the boys. They have not seen any of these. I just get their first impressions. And for our friends at Twig and Berries, go check them out at Twig and Berries.
Here's his hand up.
Yes, Liam. Or no, Tyler.
That's Tyler.
I'm just putting up my hand so that we take a quick little pause for an ad.
Oh, yes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ding dong.
Tomorrow night, another big divisional game for the Edmonton Oilers, the Vegas Golden Knights in town for their first meeting of the season. What's everybody expecting from that one? Because Vegas is just, they're playing well right now.
Matthias Janmark revenge game.
Maybe that's why he's on the first line.
Please get that for once where we get the reverse former Oiler curse where all of a sudden Matthias Janmark goes up.
That's going to do something to us.
Matthias Janmark goes out and pops three or something and go, whoa, where did that come from? He's like, I put like $2,000 on the board or whatever the fuck. And he's like, oh my God. Okay. But what are you guys expecting against Vegas?
I expect them to come out and win. I expect everything that all the same expectations I had at the beginning of the season. So I expect them to come in and show Vegas that we are the top team in the division.
When I expect the Oilers to win, they play like shit. When I expect the Oilers to lose, they play great. So they'll win tomorrow.
So you're expecting them to lose.
All right, so you better finish that sentence, sir.
Dan?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Tyler on that. Like, it feels like this is a loss where we're kind of just penciling it in as another game where the Oilers are going to struggle and they'll probably come out and play lights out.
You can't pencil in a division game as a loss.
I'm not penciling anything in.
You just said they're penciling it as a loss.
Well, I guess, yeah, the fans, I would say, are looking at this game and thinking, yeah, that's a top team in Vegas and this is a struggling team in Edmonton.
I don't know if we're struggling. We're 9-8.
And that's struggling in comparison to the division leading Vegas Golden Knights. Who are we?
14-4.
So I would say that my feeling is that this team doesn't win this game, but they probably come out and play a really good game on a Saturday night.
Liam, what are you expecting?
I think they'll win. I think Stuart Skinner will just continue to be great for this team, and hopefully they can just Carolina rally around. They've had two big wins in the last week or so against Florida and Tampa. So another tough opponent. I think they can do it.
And Stuart's playing well. Like,
we're playing our 2-13 from last year right now.
Oh yeah.
If Stuart Skinner plays like he did on Wednesday, which based on his game so far this season, I think the Oilers are going to be fine. He was not the reason the Oilers lost to LA.
No.
932 in that game. That is fantastic.
Hats off to LA for stopping us.
Yep, yeah. Team. I mean, they had 29 blocked shots. That is insane.
Start shooting for ankles, man. Make it painful to stand there.
Just no adjustments that game whatsoever.
There really wasn't. There was like fastball, 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 fastball. There was nothing else coming down.
I've been practicing shooting pucks off feet last night.
Mm-hmm. We're just, you like stand you said, there? Just about 3 feet higher.
Yeah. They'll move real fast.
Score prediction tomorrow night against the Vegas Golden Knights. Daniel.
I'm going to stick with my theme and pick them to lose. So I'm going to say 5-2 Vegas win. And now the Oilers are going to definitely win.
Rick.
5-1 oil.
Tyler.
Give me 5-1. I'm going to say,
yeah, man, they're coming out and you're going to see a different version.
I'll say 4-1.
I was also going to say 4-1.
I'm going to say 4-2.
Shocking.
Because, oh, by the way, like when the Oilers beat, who was it? Florida 4-2. There's nothing more entertaining to me than being like, told you guys I'd do it. Like, just told you.
Nailed it.
Anyway, time for hot and cold performers of the week for our friends at Canada Snowboard. The FIS Big Air Championship is coming to Commonwealth Stadium, courtesy of Toyota and our friends at Explore Edmonton. Tickets are now available at Ticketmaster. If you look at the real life Instagram and Twitter account, Tyler posted just what the ramp looks like for this event.
When is this event?
December 10th.
And what day is today?
Today is November 18th.
So we're just like shipping some snow over from Buffalo?
It's actually really interesting to see how they do it. They're building like this massive scaffolding in Commonwealth, and they're going to bury it with snow somehow.
Snow machines, I would think.
I would imagine so.
What are we going to do with Snow Valley then? Do we have enough snow machines in the city?
I would imagine they probably trucked in a few more.
Yeah, we're going to have to import some like crash ice stuff.
But we also, there's a factory up top of us that does often bring in some fresh stuff.
Bring some of that stuff from Buffalo and out there.
Buffalo's getting a crazy amount of snow right now. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster. Tyler and I will be there. Looking forward to it. I'm going to sit right by the ramp. I think it's cool. Watch the best snowboarders on earth do their thing. Big air contests always rule.
Is there a list of who the snowboarders will be announced yet?
I saw your name on there, Liam.
Yep, Bag Milk.
Yep.
Do you have certain snowboarders you're looking to go see?
What's the Mark McMorris?
I don't think this is his kind of event.
No?
It's on X Games.
I'm going to go down on a crazy carpet.
This is not an X Games event, I don't think. I think this incredible. Is more like
one of those. That would be like international. I believe. Like some kind of Red Bull. Like that sounds like a Red Bull event. You know, like they do that Flugtag or whatever it's called, where they built a little airplane, but they just launch you off a big air ramp.
I mean,
I'd watch that shit. All right. We start off with our veggies every week, boys. It is time for our Canada Snowboard Cold Performers of the Week. Liam, you are to my right. I'm going to start with you.
Alex Edler, the Nian Connor McDavid.
Good one. Tyler, you're up next.
Toronto Blue Jays traded Teoscar Hernandez, and he was a fan favorite and someone who I enjoyed watching play baseball. I'm sad about it, even though the baseball side of me knows the deal made sense, but I'm going to miss Teoscar being a Jay.
It's cool when they do it. It's a problem when I do it. Fuck.
You almost say watch baseball with. I felt like what you
No, were I going. Didn't. I don't think.
I very much enjoy watching baseball with Teoscar Hernandez. That is gone.
Luckily, he's at my favorite team, the Seattle Kraken.
Yep.
Now he's closer for you.
Rick, you're up next. Your Canada Snowboard Cold Form of the Week.
It goes to the Department of Player Safety. If your officials can't make the calls, then somebody has to watch the video afterwards and correct it. And they don't have, in my estimation, they don't have the balls to do it. So it's them.
You're as cold as ice. Nation Dan, your Canada Snowboard Cold Performer of the Week.
This is going to sound a little bit aggressive from me. It's not really necessarily his fault that he's my Cold Performer of the Week, but it's Matej Blumel, former Edmonton Oiler prospect, now Dallas Star regular. And am I saying his name wrong, Tyler?
No, I'm cringing because this sucks.
Yes. So it's just anytime he scores a goal, anytime I see the Dallas Stars talk about him, it's just going to be a constant reminder that we let him go for absolutely nothing. So he gets my Cold Performer of the Week.
Worst. 100th overall draft pick of the Edmonton Oilers. They do not sign him. They forget to sign him. He then finds his way to the Stars organization after some years overseas, puts up 11 points in 9 AHL games, and now has 1 goal in 4 NHL games to start his career. This dude is 22 years old, 6 feet, 200 pounds, right winger that shoots left. Would have been a nice fit right about now.
I'd say we gave him a Devin Shore, really.
Yeah. Nope. 1 goal in 4 games. Something to keep an eye on, but I'm not getting too bummed out yet.
That's a 20-ish goal pace, Rick.
Well, isn't Connor on pace to score like 1,000 then? Like,
well, what's Shore on pace to score? Does he have a goal yet?
No.
Damn it.
Or Devin Shore, man. You were just school. Devin hope he's wearing score. A helmet he's today because he took strays. A lot of shit today. You know what I mean?
And it's all because Liam is supporting him. That's the problem.
I'm on the Shore train.
My Canada Snowboard Cold Performer of the Week is still the Oilers penalty kill. Oddly, it has improved from 30th place to 29th place over the last 7 days, but we are still operating at a 71.8% success rate. That is nowhere near good enough for a team with expectations as high as the Oilers. The PK needs work.
I'm upset.
Flipping the ledger. Let's end off the podcast on a positive note. Nation Dan, we're reversing. You're up first. Your Canada Snowboard Hot Performer of the Week.
My Hot Performer of the Week is going to be a selfish one. It's going to go to Hockey Fight Social Media, which has something really cool coming down the pipeline that I can't quite say yet from the Fox Network. And as well, Facebook just unlocked us as a new content producer. And so we're going to be able to make some money on Facebook. So Hockey Fight Social Media gets my Hot Performer of the Week.
The big guy is smoking hot.
Followed more than how many NHL teams?
3. The Arizona Coyotes, the Ottawa Senators, and the Florida Panthers all have less followers than us.
Who are you coming for next?
The next one is, that's a great question. It's somebody with 400,000, so it's a while away. I don't even have them in my
400,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm at 352,000 right now.
Rick, your Canada Snowboard Hot Form of the Week.
If there's one Oiler right now who's playing above what we expected, I think it's Stuart Skinner. So I'm going to give it to Stuart Skinner and his fat mustache.
Pour it on!
And his fat ass.
He's a hot guy!
Well done.
Tyler, you're up next. Your Canada Snowboard Hot Performer of the Week.
Oh, the Twitter meltdown we got yesterday and everyone just being like, it's going to die. It was kind of like what I imagine living through Y2K was like. Because then you woke up this morning and it was like, oh, Twitter's fine.
Can I tell you a quick story about Y2K? It's one of my favorite things that ever happened. Sure. We had a house party, New Year's Eve, 1999. We are in high school at this point now. One of the dudes that I was at this party with, as soon as the clock struck midnight, he was at the circuit breaker down in the basement.
Oh, what an asshole.
And flipped everything off.
Great play.
Shutting down all of the power to the house we were in. And all of the girls that were in the house just started shrieking. Probably one of my favorites.
How many people knew?
Just him.
Just him.
Just him.
Anyone.
Nobody.
Brilliant.
Right to the
pretty good.
Brilliant.
You guys have no idea what the feelings were and what was being said as this was creeping up on us.
Well, I lived through 2012, Rick. So that was big.
What was that?
You were in that John Cusack movie?
The Mayans.
Was it the Mayan thing? Okay, yeah.
This one was different though, because we had no communication to confirm that we were still alive.
It actually sort of kind of made sense when they explained it to you.
Yeah.
Society, very gullible and dumb in 1999.
Yes.
And 2022 is right now.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Liam, you're up next. Your Canada Snowboard Hot Performer of the Week.
Tyrion Lannister.
So I've been watching Game of Thrones recently.
What season?
I'm just about to finish season two of my final episode. He just did a big speech on the stairs to rally the troops and King's Landing.
He's got his helmet on.
Yeah, to fight the other guy, Baranister.
Yeah.
Sannister?
Are they going to go through the little tunnels?
Yeah, and then he comes around and he just axes that guy's leg off. I was just like, pick it up.
Whatever. Spoiler alerts. Yeah, jeez, Liam.
And then, he just got sliced on the face. And
have you seen this before?
No. I know what happens, but I don't know.
You've never watched it, but you haven't watched it.
They fight over a throne.
House of the Dragon, and then I was like, I'm going to watch Game of Thrones now. Very, very good show.
Even had to give the physical prompt to tell him to press the button.
I didn't know we were in there.
I'm out now.
Liam comes with a prepared book report on season three. He's like, for my hot performer of the week, I'd like to discuss the third season.
I was going to say Stuart Skinner for my hot performer of the week.
No, you were going to say Tyrion Lannister. You know it.
So inspired by Liam, I'm just going to say shout out to HBO for all their fine programming. This is why I'm hot
because I'm flat. You ain't because you not. Use the promo code ONRadioPod for 20% off an HBO Max.
Yeah, we just soft launched. If it doesn't work, send them an email.
Yeah. Some customer support guy at HBO is like, what the fuck?
This podcast says it's sponsored by you guys, though.
For our friends at... Go ahead, Liam.
I was going to say, lots of good television right now. Blockbuster, do you guys see that one on Netflix yet?
I watched the first episode and didn't like it. Is it worth watching episode two?
It's pretty solid. It's pretty solid. The Walking Dead ends this week.
Yeah, that's still on?
Well, not
anymore.
Almost
zombies are about to win, Tyler.
It's getting a little wild.
Last night on Netflix, I finished watching their series, Pepsi, Where's My Jet?
Fuck, I need to watch
If
that.
You're looking for some, Rick, you'll remember. You guys, actually, Dan and Rick will remember this. In the 90s, Pepsi used to have Pepsi points.
Yeah.
And they had a commercial that I guarantee if you see the commercial, you'll be like, oh, I remember that. Where the joke was for 7 million Pepsi points, they were giving away a Harrier jet.
And someone did it.
This is the story of a young man who went and got those 7 million points.
These are the people that should be running our country right now, not everybody else.
When Michael Scott gave up for 5 cents or whatever. No, it was
Golden Ticket.
It was Andy where he was trying to incentivize them.
I thought you were talking about the tattoo. Bucks.
If they cashed in their points for it was 7,000 points, he'd go get a Nard Dog tattoo.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of moments like
that. Liam, did you know that one of the dragons from that show was originally
in the
movie theater in Western Mall?
No, I did not know
that. Yeah, they'd take him out of there so they can go put him on a TV show.
Did you know?
I like how you looked at me like I would be the one.
You had a look on your face there like, what?
I was waiting for you
guys to laugh. Seen the movie RV with Robin Williams?
Yes.
So Tyler, I'll know this maybe.
Sure. Probably.
So do you know in that movie, there's I think it's a raccoon or something like that. You might remember vaguely. There was a guy who we went to radio school.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
No.
Where are you going with this?
Do you remember Connor Brown from Nate?
Yeah.
That was his pet raccoon. He had this pet raccoon and they asked him today. He's now a movie raccoon. It was in the movie.
Thanks for listening. No,
now a movie raccoon.
We the best.
Another hot performer.
What was the guy's name? Sorry, what was the guy's name?
Connor Brown is his name. I don't remember what the raccoon was called.
Any other TV thoughts before we shut it down?
Yeah, Liam.
I'm good.
Oilers game Saturday. On Tuesdays?
We absolutely need the ISO cam on Liam, and we can just stream him live in this side of the room. Camera up in the corner. All five of us are in the same room for the first time. What feels like forever. It's great.
It does feel like
and our cool. setup, I feel like, is very good for this kind of conversation because we're great. All just in a perfect little circle. But we definitely need a camera on Liam.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your TV thoughts, and I'm sure the folks at HBO would as well.
No problem, HBO. Not really a TV guy, to be honest.
Okay. With that, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you to DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Twig and Berries in Canada, Snowboard. That is Oilers Nation Radio episode 6051. We're wrapping it up.
Shout out Connor Brown's raccoon.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.